do in Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available for Monday the 12th of October 2020 with me, Daniel Ruiz Tyson, episode 276. Hope you're all healthy. Hope you're all keeping on doing what you need to be doing to keep yourself going. It's coming up to 15, 18 hours recording far later than I'd hoped to. Seems to have coincided with the school, the local school coming out now. I was trying to wait until things had quietened down in the building. They haven't, so I've just got to go ahead with the record now. I've warmed up a bit, but it has been a really cold morning. Cold until around lunchtime, and now I'm just trying to bring you this show while just wearing these seven tops. Just had a look out the window before I did the show. Well, I can't see much because of the scaffolding that's up, but across the road I was filling up the kettle to make myself, I don't know how many coffees now. Thankfully, most of them decaf. That's my knuckles cracking now. And I was filling up the kettle and I looked across the road and I saw that guy with a dog. You know, the dog that wrecked the pavement across the road when I went in to top my Oyster a few weeks back, and it was the guy, it was the dog again, and you're hearing the banging already. I mean, it just leaves me dismayed what I've got ahead of me for the next 3 months with all this work going on in a pandemic, would you believe? Anyway, look, let me try and finish my opening anecdote, which is already tailing off badly. I saw the guy, Mr. Multiple Poop Bags. He was across the road walking the dog. He was wearing shorts. That's, you know, that's one thing in the, you know, in this weather. That's noticeable. But what really struck me was that he was wearing sockless sandals. And it is a cold day in London. And also wearing sandals with that dog, even in summer, is not advisable because that dog that he is walking is a dirt bag. It's a walking dirt bag. He's taken a risk with the sandals. He looked happy with the dog today. After what that dog did on this street last month, I think he's forgiven that mutt far too easily. The dog's probably thinking, I can do this again. This guy's a bit of a soft touch. Kind of like the ugly man doing anything for a spoilt woman that he can't believe he's got together with. I think that's the kind of relationship that this guy, Mr. Multiple Poop Bags, and this dog have. You've already heard a few noises in the background. I don't think I'm going to be able to edit them out. I've tried to leave it as late as possible before recording, and I just can't leave it any later. I've been stuck at this laptop since those 700 hours this morning. Determined to head out, get some exercise later. Got to put the bins out as well. Just walked to the bathroom about an hour ago to empty all the bins. It's Monday, you know, bins in Lambeth are on a Tuesday, and not a Santorini-type bin scenario, I hasten to add. I'm just emptying out a bathroom bin, cotton buds, used-up tube of toothpaste, that kind of thing, single sheets of loo roll used to handle the system, that kind of stuff. And there was a workman right at the small window before the bathroom. He saw me, I saw him, I had no idea he was out there. I had a fair idea that they were working out there because I could hear them, of course. I pretended the visual didn't affect me. No acknowledgement either way. I went in, closed the bathroom door. Well, I pushed it ajar. Didn't actually close it. You know, it's just enough to push it ajar. Otherwise, it's almost going to be making too big a point. And I pushed the door ajar, made sure I was very out of the bathroom very quickly. I've drunk a lot of coffee today, but unusually for me, not a whole load of water. So on the bladder front, loo visits minimal so far today. And this guy saw me emerge maybe in less than 30 seconds after emptying the bin. He had no idea what I'd done in there, but he might have thought, oh, right. Well, first of all, he might have thought, oh, right, there is someone in. And secondly, I hadn't seen them use the loo all morning. He was out quick. I wasn't comfortable with urinating in case he was mentally gauging from the length of the urinating audio how long I'd been in there, what it might have said about my health and so on. Then I headed back to the front room to begin prepping today's show. Now that I'm talking about it, I'm talking about this particular instance, and I'm starting to think maybe I actually really need to take a leak. Maybe I need to go now, but I can't do it because the guy is out there and he might as well be inside the flat. And the concern is that even though the scaffolding is coming up the building, that having looked at the email which breaks down all the work that is being done, it appears that there is a real danger that they're not actually going to do this. I don't know what's going on with the voice at the moment. I've got a bottle of water. I don't know if it's stress or what, or just generally tired. It's been like that all morning. You might say, well, how has it been like that all morning? How do you know? You live alone. What have you been doing? Have you been talking to yourself again? I guess I have. And now again, I've lost my thread already. 5 minutes into the show. What was I thinking about? What was I talking about, rather? Oh, yes, the work in the building, on the building, outside the building, in and out of the building. There was an email that came around last week breaking down all the work that's being done on all the various roofs that belong to these two buildings that are officially one address, but they're actually two separate buildings. Don't ask me to explain it because I've never actually properly understood it myself, and it confuses things. And every time I'm trying to set up utility bills, it causes me problems. Much like my thing back in the late 80s, early 90s, where I decided to do what many guys were doing on the back of Michael J. Fox. I'd chosen my confirmation name, John. And I thought, for about 5, 6, 7 years, maybe longer actually, maybe a decade, I was going around as Danny J. Ruiz. That was my original name, my original writer's name. My dad always said to me, that's going to cause your problems. And sure enough, when I was making one or two early appearances at whatever court it was, owing to non-payment of poll tax, I think it was originally, then council tax. It did confuse issues because I was being called in as Danny J. Ruiz. Where am I again? No, I've not forgotten. I'm talking about the roofs. So I looked at this email and I keep saying, even when I talk about it on the show, I keep confusing things because I grew up with living on top floors, and the roofs that always caused problems were flat roofs. The roof at the back of this flat is actually a pitched roof. I didn't even know it was called a pitched roof until the housing guy, the one who came in the summer, who turned up and about three steps from coming into the flat, said to me, you've not had any COVID symptoms, have you? At which point I had told him that it was a bit too late to be asking that question. And he explained to me that the leak in roof here in this flat is a pitched roof for some reason. I keep thinking it's a flat roof when clearly it's not. But it appears in the way that all that was a bit Simon Le Bon Live Aid there, the way the voice changed there. Oh, absolutely hopeless at completing this anecdote. So the email came in. Jesus. The email came in, broken down all the work that's being done externally, and I got the horrible feeling that the roof in this flat didn't feature in that work. And I think my suspicions are being confirmed. The guy who had come to the flat, who's been pushing for this work to be done, he's now confirmed that it appears this work is being done by a different company who don't know about the work, so he's going to chase it up because that scaffolding is due to be completed this week. And I've been watching the scaffolding's progress up the side of the building, up the back of the building. It's now very much at my level, but I'm not sure it's going as high up as the actual pitch roof. And even if it is, it's just the fact that I haven't seen that work specifically referred to in the email that is concerning me. So that's it. Was it worth all the hassle, all the voice breaking to bring you that anecdote, that bit of information? Maybe you're poised to switch over to the Peter Crouch's Uncle Wrote a Porno podcast. Maybe I've lost you already. You thought I'll give this show a try. Sad 54 reviews, nothing for a couple of years, but I'm going to give it a chance. Maybe now I've lost you. I think I was talking about Santorini. Was I talking about Santorini? I was talking about the Greek islands because the Chin is apparently looking at heading out to one of the Greek islands now that that travel corridor has been expanded since last week, which was discussed in Patreon bonus episode 275. Now, aside from the fact that I think, as I have made clear now on several occasions on this show, that I believe no one should be having a holiday right now, aside from that, because this is an existential crisis that we're in. And that's my third attempt at saying existential. It might be the retainer at the back of the teeth giving me problems with the X. We are in a crisis. Suffice to say, there's the car horn in the background. Is this really happening? How do you go from turning out this kind of low audio quality show to being successful in your life? I'm talking about what we've done to this planet, how we deserve to be where we are because we have absolutely f***ed this planet. We've overpopulated it. We've wrecked the environment. We've eaten things we had no business to be eating. We don't need to eat everything that breathes. We are where we deserve to be. And it could be that if we survive this, we might end up being more careful custodians of this planet. It might be too late for that. You don't need David Attenborough to tell you that, but we are in the most serious situation we have been in for a century, and we've still got so many people thinking about a holiday, and it just beggars belief. I don't think that's the right mindset. And also to a part of the world where the plumbing is atrocious, they're still blaming the British for that. You can blame them for many things, but you can't blame them for plumbing that you've had a century to fix. Why go somewhere where you have to bin your loo roll, where you can't even flush it, where there is an extra tier of finishing your business? It is another opportunity, that bin handling, for the virus to get you. It just makes no sense to be going to that part of the world right now. I had a quiet weekend, as I always have, aside from the noise from whatever is going on below this flat, which, if it wasn't for my current build-up state, will probably be annoying me more than it has. I spent Saturday afternoon involved in a lengthy Zoom with a friend who was viewing my laptop remotely, and I was trying to find something that I'd seen. I can't remember where I saw it. It was in this flat. It's a piece of work from about 17, 18 years ago that I needed to find on Saturday because something had come up. I wasn't able to find it. I'm still trying to find it late into the night, but I'd had to stop doing what I was doing to chat to my friend via Zoom. He was kind enough with his time to have a look at how the issue with Word on the laptop could be fixed. So he was doing a remote viewing. He was getting rid of stuff that he felt didn't need to be on my laptop. At the same time, I explained to him that pretty much every week I'm having to download new stuff. And by download, I don't mean illegal downloads. I'm not talking about music. I'm not talking about downloading films or TV shows. I'm talking about downloading free stuff online that I need to carry out work for clients, things that I've had to learn and adapt to this year that, I'd rather not be doing on this laptop when I only have one machine. And he felt that by doing certain things, it would enable the Word basically on the laptop to be working better. Lo and behold, today when I've been back on Word doing stuff, I've had a very heavy going morning and early afternoon. I've noticed that the issue's still there. So unfortunately for me, that step hasn't worked, so it means that we've got to do the reinstall, which sets me back even more. Also concerns me because my friend would have to come here, and aside from the pandemic concerns, the possibility that either of us might imperil the other. It's just that, when you've known someone, most of your life, it's a horrible way to be around people. And as difficult as it is to be alone here, at least I don't have those impersonal experiences that many are having, where you can see people, where you can see your friends, but you've got to do that social distancing thing. I think for me, mentally, that is making the situation more difficult. You can see people, but the fact that you have to see them at a distance, I find that is something I think might cause me more damage than good. Which is why it might suit me to spend as much time as possible on my own, just trying to get through this. As long as the fridge is full, as long as the microwave is working, as long as the oven door, which is broken as well, can actually close on the odd night where I decide to put the oven on to make some semi-proper food, I'm okay with this. Well, I'm not okay with this. It's obviously had an impact on me, as it's probably had an impact on you, especially if you're living alone, but whatever, I'm rambling. So the laptop concern hasn't been resolved. My friend has been rebuilding a laptop, which he is kindly offering to give to me. I'd need to buy a monitor, which is about £100, given that I think I've got to fix the back of this tooth that is preventing me from saying words like existential as easily as I ought to be. I'm not sure I can do that right now, but it becomes an even more urgent situation when all the work that I am doing is putting me in situations where I need to do a hell of a lot of research. It sometimes involves having to buy old UK comics. some of which are reasonably priced, others aren't. But the get out is, and it's a strange one, that for instance, rather than having to buy 87 issues of an Action comic, the comic that was banned, can you hear me? I'm not even sure I can hear myself. What is going on with his voice? Let me try and have some water. Instead of buying 87 issues of Action comic, I can get a DVD for about $3.75 on eBay that has digital images of all 87 issues. The problem is I don't have a DVD player, and even when I did, I genuinely didn't know how to set it up. Since 2002, that was the cut-off point for me in technology. Going beyond hooking up a Freeview box, I'm absolutely lost, and it's a good job that I don't watch much TV today. But I'm tempted to just take the hit on this desktop PC because, just from research purposes, there are already a couple of instances where I need to buy DVDs. The first instance surprised me because it concerns a film, again, that I need for research, made by someone I'm going to be interviewing, but it's only available on DVD. You can't actually buy it and stream it online, which I find very awkward. So those are little hurdles, well, big hurdles that I'm facing. They can be solved, but obviously it all comes down to money. In other news, the next door neighbor, the elderly neighbor, they're in hospital again. I mentioned on I think it was episode 275 last week, so regular Patreon bonus. I think it was on there that I mentioned it. I think actually on Wednesday I mentioned that one of the care workers, I'd had to buzz them in early on Wednesday morning, which kind of annoyed me because that happens a lot with this bell. It's the bottom bell, even though I'm the top flat, and it always gets buzzed. And I was thinking, well, why are they buzzing me when there's some physical key set up? They're supposed to press the bell, and I think the neighbor will then press something. That slot downstairs by the front door will open and they get their keys. But then the penny dropped because I buzzed them in, and I'm guessing it was that morning when they found the neighbor again. They'd had another fall. I didn't find out about it until Friday. So that's just ongoing. I'd said that I felt from what I was hearing that the reassuring communal hallway audio of the care workers coming in and out four times a day from morning to night, that seemed to have dissipated, which was a concern because I didn't see how it could be scaled back given the decline, the sharp decline in the neighbor's health. Whatever it is, even with four visits a day, she needs a live-in carer. The flat's not big enough, I appreciate that, but that's obviously where the problem is because on each of the, I think, four occasions now that she's had to go into hospital in less than 8 weeks, it is the morning when they've been finding her. So I just don't know how much more this poor woman can take of having those falls. And also, there was a message via another neighbor that the elderly neighbor wanted to know if she'd offended me because she hadn't heard from me. And well, I'd actually called her back when I'd had a missed call from her when I was on a run last week. She hadn't called back, so I just told myself, well, whatever she needed, she's got it from someone else. But there was, as I told this neighbor, I had to step back. I've got a lot of stuff going on, family stuff and just life stuff, and trying to survive this situation and keep a roof over my head. I'm not going to be stepping in where her family should be. This is their role. Just as I do stuff in my family, this is their family. They've got to step in. I am almost a complete stranger to this person. I've been running these errands four times a week for 2 years at a time in my life, which, despite a lot of competition over the last 20 years, is especially bleak. Going into some petrol station shop to try and track down OK magazine, that's not how I thought I'd be spending my life at this stage of my life, which may well be my final years, or they may be perhaps the dawn which doesn't turn out to be a false dawn. Who knows? Either way, this is not my responsibility. I've done it because I like to think I'm a decent guy, but I've certainly moaned about doing it because I don't think I should be doing it. I'm not a carer. If I was, I'd be doing it as a job. If that was, if that was my aunt, if my mom was around, I'd be doing all this stuff for them. If I had family members who needed help, I'd do it. All friends. But this is, I am a stranger. Yes, I've been neighborly, but this family need to step in and help this neighbor. And if it's simply a case that she can no longer live here, life is very sad. I understand, as the space daddy said, that she may want to bow out on her own terms. Fine, you can do that, but it's very unfair to take a stranger with you to impact on their life in such a way. And I hope that if she is back, I hope that there is someone actually at the other end saying, well, look, this is four times now we've sent her back, four times she's come back. What are we doing now on this fifth occasion that we're sending this poor woman back to this top floor flat when she can't even walk properly? What are we doing now that is going to be different to the four previous times we've sent her back? I hope someone's doing that. But either way, I'm stepping back. Well, I have stepped back. I'm not getting involved anymore. I'm not going on these errands anymore. I've made that clear to her family. If at some point I get asked again, then I'll just go to her family again, even if I have to get arsey. I'm not, I'm not getting drawn into this world again. I've done it. I've done my time. 2 years. That's military service. You know, that's my Spanish national service that I got out of when I was 17. I think it's caught up with me in mid-age. And it's taken 2 years of my life. Now it's time for me to get my life back. And albeit in a pandemic, of course. So in terms of the noise, which might have quietened down now, I mean, these guys were still going at it around 15-30 hours, which for British workmen is quite a thing, because normally they tend to knock off early afternoon. So it's the elderly neighbours flat next door, there the windows being done first, given that I was meant to have them done last week, but I refused to let the guys in. I think her brother was meant to be staying over last night to oversee this work. So the work is well underway now. And, you know, I'm mindful that these people are going to be getting new windows, that it's going to make their flat warmer. But at the same time, I'm telling myself, well, I haven't been stupid. I haven't taken risks, because the noise, the chaos outside that I'm hearing, at least it's not inside this flat. Logistically, it would have been very difficult to clean everything up after they'd gone. I remember work being done here a few years ago. And as I say, as I've said, I was never able to get my study set up again in the way that I wanted it set up. And I was never able, aside from the leak, I was never able to work in there properly again. It just felt like they'd sullied the room and all my stuff had been moved out of place. I thought that I might have some more time before they started tackling that back room. I wasn't ready for more disruption this time, particularly in a pandemic. And, you know, there is a part of me that's saying, okay, yes, I'm going to suffer here. I'm going to be cold. I'm wearing seven layers to do this show. The heating bills are going to be higher than they would be. But you know what? Screw you. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to do what you want me to do if I think it's the wrong thing. And that's, you know, that's important to me. This work should have been pushed back, shouldn't have been happening at all this side of Christmas, this side of the spring, probably. Not been out yet today, and it's hard to see what the weather's like unless I look out the kitchen window. I can see that it's been raining, so I'm hoping that I can get out by 1700 hours. I probably have to edit this show, complete it when I come back out from the run. I am anticipating that when I head out for that evening run, that the communal hallway will be messy. Hopefully it won't be busy. Hopefully that footfall will have disappeared until tomorrow. I'm going to go out there where my pets will buffer as a face mask when I head out, because it has sounded awfully busy and noisy out there today. I've just been really busy, even at the weekend, full on now with the new show. I'm really in the zone with that. And, you know, in a way, that's a good thing. It's also, you know, a worrying thing. It just reminds me of my days as a magazine editor, which is essentially what it is. It's, you know, a magazine style show that I'm going to be doing, and dealing with lots of people and publishers, trying to find out who's happy to be interviewed, who isn't, tracking down lots of people. LinkedIn continues to be invaluable. You know, some people want to do the interviews, some people don't, but it's, you know, I do believe it's got the potential to be something big. And if my name wasn't Daniel Ruiz Tyson, maybe it would be something big. I've just got to stay positive and focused. But I'm not concerned, but I'm just mindful that this is going to be a huge, huge piece of work. It's not necessarily the kind of work that I want to do. But, you know, if I'm going to do podcasts, and he said try not to trip over his words, then it's got to be something successful, because I put in the hours. I'm talented enough. It's got to be successful. And that's why I'm doing that show. There are big things happening. There are some targets, interview-wise, guest-wise, that I'm getting that motivate me to chase others, and one or two that I don't get that I think, well, that's the way it goes. You know, you had that experience when you were a football journalist. It's that's the way this stuff goes. You know, try them again, perhaps in a few months. I was able to switch off from some of this work when I had lockdown. Well, not lockdown. It's not really a lockdown that we're in, is it? A pandemic era haircut, self haircut number four, I think it was. That was yesterday. Yesterday afternoon. Took a couple of hours again. Had to whack the heating on to try and be warm in there. I just did the back and the sides this time, which I've been thinking about for a while. See if I could just grow out the top. But I knew that pulling off the high fade is going to be really tricky without giving you a kind of Ted Danson style skull. I kind of pulled it off. Maybe I didn't. I think it's the kind of haircut where if you saw it, you'd think, yeah, he's cut his own hair. But, you know, maybe next time I'll do it better. I'm okay with it. Needed cutting, I think. And, you know, the novelty of doing it has worn off. It's so difficult to do the back. And it comes down to common sense. You've got to, you know, you've got to get that mirror to the back of your head. You've got to try and work out what you're seeing in the mirror in front of you. And, you know, you're trying to go with the clippers, get everything right. It confuses me. And of course, I've acknowledged that this is not one instance in which I would like to or would attempt to pass myself off as left-handed, as I do in many other situations, because that would just lead to a disastrous cut. And there were a couple of moments where I left significant, what looked like scars in the back of my head. And it was because I'd taken the blade off. And so I had all these horizontal lines, like a ladder at the back of my skull at one point, which have now disappeared, thankfully, because I was going very short anyway. Now that I have cut my hair again, because I do this thing in winter that I started doing last winter, because I get really frustrated at how many tops or how slow I am at putting on so many tops when really it's not a normal thing. I think it would take everyone a lot of time to put on as many tops as I put on. There are an awful lot of zips and buttons. And as I say, I think I've currently got 7 layers on, might be 8, I think it's 7. And what I've been trying to do to save time in the mornings is I try to put on, I sleep with 2 layers. Now, I think I've been sleeping with 3 recently. So I try to put the other 5 layers on all in one go. You know, it's like a Russian doll. The thickest top is on the outside, the thinnest top on the inside. Try to put them on. Sometimes, you know, as I said, I think on Thursday's show, I realized maybe about an hour after I've done this that one of the sleeves isn't on properly, and I have to remove everything and establish which sleeve wasn't on properly. But now that I've got this number one on the back and sides, the tops I've noticed when I'm bulk dressing, the tops are getting stuck on the back of the scalp. The friction from the clipper work has meant that I've been in a couple of situations where I've ended stuck in my own tops and having to find my way out Houdini-like, and that is not a good situation to be in. Let's give you a quick breakfast update. The time is 15:52 hours, which won't mean anything to you anyway, because you're not going to be listening to this for a few hours yet, or maybe days yet. Maybe this drops, as the kids say, or as the media bots say, this drops, and you think, ah, I'll listen to this when I've listened to all the other stuff. Maybe that's what happens. Breakfast update Friday, last Friday, which was the 9th of October. Toast. Actually, it was a good return for Toast last week because it wasn't an easy comeback for them. The weekend, last weekend, had seen Crackers take both weekend slots. Saturday was also Toast. Yesterday, Crackers returned. So not bad. At least they took one of the weekend slots. You know, 3 of the 4 last weekend slots have been taken by Crackers. And there's the voice again. Today, Monday morning, Toast. This morning. So I think it's fair to say since last Friday, Toast has dominated. Episode 276, Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available and croaky. Special thanks to the 17 still supporting this show via Patreon. We've lost one over the last week. We are small but tight in number, I hope. If you want to join them, then head on over to patreon.com/DRTavailable. Or if not, have a good thought for the 17, because it is they who keep this show alive. 3 bonus episodes last week, by the way, for Patreon supporters. Following last Monday's regular show, there were 2 bite-sized shows on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then Thursday saw the regular patron bonus episode 275, which I think was one of my favorite episodes to have done in the last year. May not be yours. I may have got it wrong. Personally, though, I enjoyed recording it. It felt good to me. I think those bite-sized episodes last week helped me to find a way to be a bit more relaxed last week on the show. But there you have it. Unlock all that bonus content at patreon.com/DRTavailable. Bonus content guaranteed every Thursday. Friday's run was really good, actually, for me. I ran just under 10k, steady rather than brilliant. It's funny, because I knew from the beginning that I was going to do something that was better than what I'd been doing recently. I just knew that I was. I felt it. It wasn't so much that I felt I needed it. It's just I knew that I was going to do it from the beginning. Admittedly, the last lap was a bit difficult. Completed my first week using the new running app Runkeeper, which gives me more information than Strava, even gives me calories. As long as I don't see the heart rate, that's it. That's enough for me. Friday, it was raining. It's just brilliant for me. You know, it's better than running in warmer weather, which is where I struggle. I was slipping on the trails. Sometimes I would have to run through the grass, which of course meant that the trainers then get soaked. So I bring them in and I have to ball up newspapers in there and try and dry the trainers out. I was tempted to go for a run at the weekend. I think it would have done me good, but the trainers hadn't dried properly and I can't just switch the heating on just for a pair of trainers. Also, the rain, of course, clears the park of all the usual posers. And more importantly, it just clears my head, which is so important to me. I've noticed, especially with the later runs, the evening runs, which are sadly for me, not going to be possible for much longer because, like all things, I've come to it late and I really should have been doing it in the winter instead. In the summer instead, I was going out when it was baking hot and then wondering why I couldn't run. I really should have been running later into the evening. But of course, you know, the summer, the park's going to be full of posers and that was my problem. I just prefer to run when it's quieter, whether it's, you know, winter or summer. But I have noticed that when I come back, my thinking is a bit more blue sky and I'm generating more creative ideas. And it's important for me to acknowledge that, important for me to see that, because that is an additional benefit for me. Also, for Kid Cop fans, the seminal US cop show that ran from 1980 to 1992, originally starring myself and Victoria Principal, and after that, from 86 onwards, Sam Fox replacing Victoria Principal. There was a recollection that came back to me on the run that I hadn't recalled for quite some years. And it came to me on my run. If I hadn't been running on Friday, I don't think I would have recalled this. And if I hadn't run so well on Friday, I don't think I would have recalled this. And it was that back in the late 80s, after Kid Cop would air on a Friday night, and this is in the States, it wasn't shown in the UK, this particular thing, but in the States, I also had a chat show, my own chat show, you know, a bit of singing and dancing like those, you know, theatrical kids that English or British theatre tends to produce. So NBC, the American network, was essentially devoting 2 hours of primetime TV to a teenage kid from London who could do a New York accent. I do remember that in one episode of that chat show, only for a couple of years, it only ran for a couple of years, I do remember that I had Bross on. It would have been 88, which was Pete Bross, if I remember rightly. 87 was the Beastie Boys, wasn't it? 88 was Bross. And I had Bross on the show. We duetted on a song, can't recall which one. And after YouTube, it'd find the performance. I wasn't a big fan, though, I have to say, of Bross, though I did think that the drummer, was it Luke? The drummer? I think the drummer was Luke. I thought he was a very underrated drummer. And I think, if I remember rightly, in this performance, I was wearing an outfit that I bought that summer from Burton's. I was kitted out in menswear from Burton's. So just back on the running. I'm heading out as soon as this is done. I think it's The editing's going to have to wait. Need to be out there by 1700 hours, otherwise I'm looking at being locked in the park again. Though this time, now that I'm just wearing single shorts, I might be able to scale the railings. I keep watching how people put their armbands on, and I think my theory is right that the armband is, thank you, Mr. Driver, the armband is put on after you've started your run. Maybe these people are okay with losing a few seconds of their runs to try and get the armband on. Yes, do you mind? I'm trying to do a show here. What was I talking about? The armband. So I think I'm just going to have to accept that because once I put the armband on, it stays on. Although I do have problems because I've got the long sleeve, so the armband pulls up the left sleeve. So when it's raining like it is today, I don't wear the watch. I don't want the watch getting wet, and I'm struggling to pull the sleeve down because of the armband. And I can hear the rain now, so it's almost that extra level of discomfort that it brings to the run actually helps me. It actually helps me focus on what I'm doing out there, and I need it. I've also got anti-back wipes now, well, just the one when I exit the flat, just for the key handling specifically. I'm not faffing around with hand gel now because I'm only wearing one layer of shorts. They got no sealable pockets, so I take a wet wipe with me as anti-back wipe, travel wipes, and what didn't I just say, travel wipes in the first place. Taking these wipes with me, and I head out, put the rubbish out. Once I've done that, I think I've wiped the keys by then. They've gone into the armband, and then I just clean my hands, and I try to make sure I don't touch my face while I'm out running. I'll need the run today. I can feel myself wound up a bit by all the stuff going on at the minute. I hit the next stage of the medication switch over tonight, which is a concern. I've dealt with the first stage well, which is just halving things, and I've done okay, which has pleased me. So if it wasn't for the tinnitus, I would have just stayed on this lower dose of pills. I think at the moment it shows that I'm better than last year, but unfortunately, even now as I'm talking to you, I can hear the tinnitus. I can hear this ringing, and it's just annoying. Got to jump through these hoops, and hopefully the new meds will bring this 2 year spell of tinnitus to an end. I hope so. If it doesn't, and if I find the new stuff, just the new stuff I'm going to be on exclusively from the end of next week, from the start of next week, if I find that that is just leaving me feeling very heavy, then I'm just going to switch back to this stuff. We'll see how it goes. I'm just hoping that the change doesn't impact on the writing at least. And I had moments at the weekend where I was feeling really positive because, I've made it through to the shortlist for this national playwriting competition. I need to tweak this thing I'm going to submit to them. And I'm reading through all the different versions I have because, I had to create different versions for different nights it was staged, and this is an opportunity to stage the full length play, so I've got to make sure I get it right. Just trying to find the time to do it, trying to note everything, trying to see what cuts were originally made to get it to work as a TV script, what can be brought back for the stage version, and then of course I've got to format it for the theatre, which, being new to the theatre isn't always an easy thing for me, but I'm really keen to do it. Reading that script, I know it's a good piece of work. It's always good when you go back to something that you wrote a while ago, in this case last year, and you think, yeah, that was a good piece of work. I was in a decent place at that particular moment because it's a very funny piece of work. Just got to find the time now because the concern is that the hours I spend looking at this machine, not even wearing my glasses today because they don't do anything anymore. This is the glasses, Dave. Just a little bit, please, if you'll permit me. The extra motivation for running today is the fact that I was a bit of a pig at lunchtime. I think I didn't need to eat as much as I did. That can happen when I'm not at my best. I think the fact that I knew, well, I'd gone deliberately for the early lunch because I knew I was going to run after doing this particular episode, but I thought I'd get it edited as well before I went out, which doesn't look likely. So I just ate a bit more than I should have because I told myself, well, I can run it off. That's not the healthiest approach in terms of doing a run, I think. Well, what do I know? I'm a novice. That overeating can happen when I'm not at my best. Have you ever been at your best, Dave? That is a good question. So extra motivation to run off that big bowl of cereal and yogurt and fruit at lunchtime. Then when I get back, gotta warm up that bathroom because when I when I got back last week. You can hear the pain in my voice there with the squeaking. Just the recollection of that shower last week brings me out in a shiver. Mentioned it, I think, in one of the bite-sized episodes last week. There was one night where I was showering after an evening run, and it was so cold in that bathroom. It's a tiled bathroom. Despite the heating being on, I was in absolute pain when I stepped out of that shower. I had to break down the toweling in stages. Normally, I go for the full toweling, brisk toweling, and I do that thing that I've told myself since I grew up in Mayflower, which was a heaterless building. Even if it's cold, I just constantly tell myself it's hot, it's hot. Oh my God, it's hot, it's hot. That's what I do. I always do it. I've been doing it for decades. That wasn't working that particular evening. As I say, normally go for the full toweling, work my way from top to bottom. I had to stop last week and wrap myself tightly in that towel, hung it on my shoulders the way my aunt asked me to drape her coat over her shoulders, like Johnny Sachs and the Sopranos at the flu vaccination center last week, because I was so cold. So I wrapped my top half in that towel and I still couldn't warm up. I think I was in there struggling for about 20 minutes. You would have thought I was a giant. It took me so long to dry myself off, but I was really struggling. Friday's time, actually, was the pace again was really fast, and run keeper keeps giving me these fast times, and the thing is Strava didn't. So again, it's that inconsistency with the apps, which app is right, which isn't. I never thought I was as slow as Strava would tell me, and I don't think I'm as fast as these guys tell me, though. I think there was one run last week where I was really fast. I felt fast, and I wasn't surprised when I saw that I was indeed fast. I had that great run a couple of Mondays ago, 2 weeks tonight, which might have been where I peaked in terms of how good I felt with the running. And then the following night, possibly new neighbors had arrived. I'm not sure yet exactly what's going on down there, but that Monday night coming back, just the excitement of getting locked in the park. The excitement of doing a good run, the excitement of running back home on the street when I don't really do street running, the thrill of that, and then the following night realizing that there's every chance that people have moved in downstairs. That was a bit of a drop off in terms of how positive I was feeling. I keep seeing a silver car belonging to whoever's downstairs. It's a long car, reminiscent, I think, of a 1970s Hillman Avenger. Now, I don't know anything about cars, so I had to duck, duck, go that just to find out what a Hillman Avenger looks or looked like. And in my in the search box, I simply typed in long 1970s car and had to look through about 30 images before I found what I think is the car that I'm talking about. Well, it's a similar car to that anyway. The only time I've ever known what makes of cars are, and I became very good at this, was in the summer of 91 in that awful security job in Canary Wharf, because I had to log all the cars coming in. So I got to know them all. I got to know whatever it is, those figurines, those little things they have on their bonnets, whatever they're called. That's the only time I've ever known anything about cars. Just can't get into cars.
You're listening to Daniel Roy Tyson is available.
Episode 276, Sweating the Small Stuff. Follow Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available on Twitter and Instagram at 1607 West Egg, 1607 West Egg. Facebook.com/DRT is available. Still, obviously, got those issues my end where I can't access my own page. I've tweeted about it on a regular basis the last few weeks and posted on the Facebook page as well. I appreciate the shares. The issue remains unresolved and it is such a problem going forward. And no one seems to know how to resolve this. That's how complicated it is. Hey, a dream to bring you another pandemic dream. This one was actually beautiful. Visually, it was beautiful. I was in the back streets of Stockwell. This was on Saturday again. That's always a big day for dreaming with me. And I was in Stockwell, back streets, either side of South Lambeth Road. There are some genuinely beautiful streets in Stockwell, completely at odds with the rest of it, which is an absolute pit. And I was on one such street in this dream. I was coming at it from the Wandsworth Road end, SW8. It was a fantasy street because I know the area so well. I know that that road doesn't exist. And I'm wondering whether my mind has my dream state as pieced together an assortment of different streets that I like and mashed it all up into one beautiful thing. I know that it was near the Cavendish Arms where I did my best stand-up gigs. Probably, I think. I was determined never to die on stage on my home turf, and I never did. So I was coming at it from the Cavendish Arms. And this was a beautiful street that I'd found. The Cavendish does exist, let me make that clear, but this beautiful street didn't. And it reminded me a bit of Guildford Road, I think, slightly, the entrance to it. But then it just spun off into something even, you know, much more beautiful. There were giant trees with faces carved into them of Grange Hill Series 4 characters, the 1982 series, its strongest year, I've always said. There was Jonah, there was Zamo, originally Jonah's sidekick, there was Roland, there was Stewpod and Claire Scott from the year above them, or 2 years above them. I did fancy Claire Scott for years. Tucker and Benny from the original lot from the first series. All these faces were carved into the bark. I was looking up and seeing all these faces. I thought, I've got to take a picture of that. But I am a genuinely poor photographer and I just couldn't do the image justice. Behind me, as I was staring at this tree, this big tree, there was a Spanish tapas bar. Right opposite that Spanish tapas bar, there was a break in the buildings. The buildings themselves, terraced housing, really pretty houses. But there was a break in the buildings right at the end, right by the entrance to the road. And there was an alleyway. Very common in Lambeth. And I can't remember what the alleyway was backing into, but there was a grate separating, or a grate joining from that final building on the road, final house on that road, to whatever was on the other side of that alley. So it was inaccessible through there. But somehow, through that grate, I caught a glimpse of a breathtaking fountain. Lopez, my deceased friend, who's been playing a starring role in my dreams lately, he was there again. He could see that I was unusually taken by what I was seeing. He knows that that is not something that happens with me too often. And it was stunning. I got to get to that fountain, I told him. I've got to see this thing. Can you not see it? It's absolutely beautiful. We went into the tapas bar to investigate, find out how we could reach the fountain. There was a friendly barman in there smoking, as most Mediterraneans are wont to do. He was explaining to us how we could get there. As he was talking to us, I was relaxing and I realized that I had dropped my pandemic era guard in there. My hands were placed on the top of the bar and I told myself, don't touch the face. Whatever you do, don't touch the face. I had no hand gel on me either. I must have woken up at that point because I didn't get to the fountain. But what I glimpsed, let me tell you, it was beautiful. Now, as I try to wrap up this week's too long a show again, Nectar Points, let's bring you some Nectar Points, the Nectar Points update. Just before I get onto that, I can't remember if I said on the on episode 275 last Thursday, if I told you that the little man-sized tissues have gone into the bedroom now, not for any sinister reason other than they're just too big for the front room. I just need tissues to cover my drinks and these man-sized tissues are way too big, so I bought some smaller ones from Sainsbury's. I think they're 2-ply, and I've got them here, and they're more suited to doing what I need them to do in the front room. While in Lidl, Stockwell Lidl, been a while since I went to the Brixton one, I just can't deal with that place right now. I saw some fruit or veg, I forget which, £2 it was going for, you know, more expensive than the fruit or veg I usually buy. It was the netting, though, that's on the bag in that really impressed me. The netting, I told myself I ought to get it because if I'm not making you Star Wars goals, because the last ones took me a full day back in January and I didn't do a good job with them, but I should at least try and replace the netting in the current ones, causing a few VAR issues. But it's not a priority right now, I told myself, so I just moved on from them. You might think, well, it's easy to find, you know, fruit or veg with good netting. I don't know about that because this one really caught my attention. And I think it was purple netting. Looked good and might have been good, might have been suited to Star Wars football. By the way, I'm so tired and scatty right now that for the first time ever in my 30 years of carrying and filling out notebooks every single day of my life since 1990, I've started a new notebook. I've written loads in it. My lists, all my shopping lists are now on cards exclusively, which is good because it means that from now on when I go to notebooks, I know it's just notebooks. I know it's just to do with my work, nothing to do with shopping lists, you know, nothing that's going to embarrass me if a biographer in future, long after I'm gone, starts going through everything. And I realized, because something about the notebook just didn't look right, I realized that I was about a dozen pages into using it upside down. And I couldn't believe it. And it worried me what might be behind that. I considered relabeling it the correct way and starting from the front of the notebook. And then I just thought, well, it's going to confuse me because the start of the notebook is at the back. It's upside down. I've written an awful lot, got a lot of notes in there already. Just going to have to suffer this. This will always be the upside down notebook for the rest of my life. Just got to make sure that it doesn't happen again. Friday and Saturday, I'd left myself with a near impossible task of finishing 6 pints of milk in 36 hours. I love milk, but that is a lot of milk, even for me. Expiry date of the 10th. Losing my expiry date sharpness at the moment. Sunday morning, I had to get rid of around a quarter of a pint. So it wasn't too bad. Didn't do too bad a job, but it was an awful lot of milk I had to drink on Saturday. But I just couldn't finish it all off. It was the dairy equivalent of one of those, glorious failures normally associated with the England football team. Let me give you the nectar points quickly. Just shine this lamp down. Opening balance last week from last week was 236. Bought semi-skim milk 155, so that's another 6 pints. So I think the expiry date on that is the 18th, so I've got 6 days on that. But I think I've just started the 4 pinter, so it's going to be cutting it fine again. Bought the spicy chicken, thin and crispy chicken pizza. Had a good fold over on Saturday. Returned to form on the fold over after the treacherous fissuring of the little pizza the week before when I folded it over. Bought some fabric conditioner. Some sweet chili sauce, support the facial tissues that I mentioned, 75p, Nescafé refill on the coffee front, two loose bacon potatoes, 37p, four single oranges, £1.20. Again, I just seem to have earned 13 points. I think it was 13 last week as well. I guess, I'm buying the same things all over again. My new points balance is 249, so I'm at the halfway point of the magical 250 mark. Maybe I'll get there before show 300, which may well be this year's bumper Christmas annual, there or thereabouts. On which note, that is the end of this week's regular show. Patreon listeners, you get your weekly bonus edition, episode 277. That's out on Thursday. If you want to join the show's supporters, do sign up at patreon.com/DRT available. Thank you all for listening. If you're not joining us on Thursday, I'm back on Monday with episode 278. Get those shoulders back. Keep on walking towards the sun. Keep washing those hands. I'm Daniel Ruiz Tyson, and this start of the week, I have been available.